From Ecclesiastes 3, verses 11 to 14. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. And from John 3, verses 14 to 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
You may be seated. Well, I had originally planned I was going to do Why Grace Matters, but with my mom's death, number one, I didn't have time to adequately prepare for that sermon. But also I felt like we need to look at eternity because we're all going to die. And are we prepared for eternity? Let alone, I want to say, are we eternally focused? Or is it more temporal, what matters to me instead of what matters to God? I wanted to start with prayer. God, I just truly pray. Speak to our hearts about being more focused upon eternity than here on earth. I truly pray it would change even the way we live. That it wouldn't be about what pleases me, but what pleases you. Because this will pass away, but eternity will be forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, in the scripture reading today in Ecclesiastes 3, did you hear about that part that God puts eternity in man's heart? We have that sense that there's something more. Why do you think there's all the religions about the afterlife? Is it by chance, or is it something God puts in us that there's more after we die? And how often they believe most religions it's eternal. There's some, like some of the Hinduism, where your reincarnation, where you're just trying to get it right until you've arrived like God, and then you spend eternity that way. Good luck. But, okay, what happens if there's no eternity? What purpose is there? What purpose is there in how you live your life? There's no way I can be an atheist. I ponder that. If there's no eternity, then what purpose is there in how I live my life? What purpose is there in life in general? Hey, it'd be like Carl Sagan. We come from stardust, and stardust we go. Wow, that has a lot of meaning. But what if there is eternity, and how we live our life has an eternal impact where we're going to end up? Ooh, that's a totally different perspective than how I live my life. Because without it, why do the morals matter? Why does about loving my neighbor matter? Even if we're here for a million years as a society, why does it really matter? Because it's all going to end. So how I treat someone really doesn't matter because there's no eternal consequence to it. Oh, I might make them happy, but they're going to die too, and they're never going to remember anything. They're just going to go back to dust. But do we live our life that way? Do we live our life in such a way that we want to glorify God because it matters throughout eternity? Do we live our lives in the light of heaven and hell? Because that, I'm sorry, if we do, it drastically will change how we look at things. If I'm living my life for eternity, then a lot of these temporal things don't matter. Whether I go fishing or not doesn't really matter. Nothing wrong with fishing. But if it's eternity, there's a point where I'm going to filter it and go, God, what do you want me to do? I want to honor you because, you know, I'll have all of eternity to go fishing. But what do you want me to do today? How do I minister to the lost? God, give me opportunity. God, how do I glorify you today? If I don't have an eternal focus, I will tend to fall back in the temporal, what's here and now. I will tend to fall back on my flesh to please what I desire versus God. But again, without eternity, there is no purpose. I think of it, there's a story about in World War II, prisoners of war were in a concentration camp. And the warden, basically what was said, his goal was that they would kill themselves. And nothing worked. And finally he had the brilliant idea. In the morning, they would haul a pile of rocks to one end of the camp. In the afternoon, they'd bring it back to the other side of the camp. And men started going crazy and killing themselves. Why? Because there was no purpose in moving the rocks. There was no purpose for their life. And so it's with us. There has to be purpose. And eternity gives us a purpose for living. No matter what you're going through, this will end. Eternity won't. We need to remind ourselves when we're going through hard things, this will pass like a blinking of an eye. I'm not saying it's easy. But we need to be eternally focused. And we need to remember heaven, where God is there in his glory. I think of deism. So deism isn't really spoken of, but way back when, the 1700s, it was very popular. And so basically, Benjamin Franklin believed this and some of our founding fathers. God got everything going and went on vacation, so to speak, to the remotest part of the universe. We could see him in his creation, but we couldn't know him. What purpose is that for? That almost sounds like a cruel God. Hey, I'm going to create everything. I'm going to see how it's going from, you know, way over here. Not interact with my creation. Just evidence that I was here. But that's not the God who we serve. We serve a God, when you read the scripture, is constantly drawing us to him. Even though we rejected him. I mean, when you look at the original sin, Adam and Eve chose to believe the devil over God. I'm sorry, we're no different without his grace. But when you look at this, he's constantly saving his people, bringing it up to Christ, where God himself in the personhood of Jesus Christ came, lived with us, walked among us, suffered, and died for us. Why? He died so we could have a right relationship, that we'd be forgiven of our sins, we could have right relationship. Because we have right relationship, we inherit eternal life. We get to spend eternity with him. Instead of what we rightly deserve is eternal damnation. Is not that incredible what God does? and what he did through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean much if there's no eternity. It almost seems, why? But in the light of eternity and heaven and hell, wow. The other thing with if there's no eternity, like I said earlier, why does it matter how we live our lives? Why do morals matter? Why does God's commands matter if there's no eternity? Do you really understand there is no rewards if there's no eternity? It doesn't matter how we live our lives, but with eternity it does. And I think, given our culture, and I fear Christianity, as we moved from God being more the center of our culture to agnosticism and atheism, you can see how evil is growing. And sometimes it's shocking how evil has grown and how darkness, that talks about this in 2 Timothy 3, that good would become wrong and wrong would become right. And we see this more and more. But if there's not an eternal focus, it really doesn't matter how I live my life. Because I exist and I don't exist. But with eternity comes a fear of God. Because without it, doesn't matter. But eternity says, how I live my life matters. If I live it for myself, I will inherit eternal damnation. If I live it for God, I inherit eternal life, heaven. We see God's heart again in the scriptures, what Rhoda said in John 3:14-17. I want to read it again. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man should be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you see the heart of God? He wants everyone to come to repentance so they may inherit eternal life. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. And as we read the scriptures, we can't lose sight of that. And why would he? Why would Jesus come and suffer for us? Do we understand that kind of love? He was willing to endure the wrath of God so we may be saved. If we understand what he's done and we understand eternity, it's going to change priorities in our lives. Rick Warren said, living in the light of eternity changes our priorities. How can it not? If I wake up in the morning eternally focused, God, what can I do for you today? And when I'm that day when you're suffering, you're one day closer to eternity where there is no more pain, there is more and more suffering. And in those times that are hard, God, give me the grace to get through it. I want to glorify you. But if it's not eternally focused, we tend to get angry with God, or we tend what is pleasing to ourselves. I pray that we're more eternally focused it's challenging me just going through this. Just, I think obviously we think about more of death more in eternity when a loved one dies. But it should be something that we should ponder every day. Because in the blinking of an eye, that's our life. It's a mere breath compared to eternity. And we only get one time. And every day is a gift. Do we live it accordingly as a gift from God? Or is it what it can do for me? C.T. Studd, I don't know how many of you are familiar with C.T. Studd. He came from a very wealthy family. He played cricket, and he was like the best. And God got a hold of him, and he became a missionary, impacted Africa in a very great way. He gave up his inheritance because he had eternity in mind. And this is what he said. What is it worth to possess the riches of the world when a man comes to face eternity? It reminds me of Matthew 16:26, when Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, wealth, fame, success, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I would be the first to admit how often I'm chasing the wrong thing in the light of eternity. And I pray that changes. George Mueller. God radically saved him. And he was a man of faith. He saw the need of, there were so many orphans on the street, so he started an orphanage. Well, that grew. It says that in Great Britain, his orphanages affected about 400,000 people. This is what he says about eternity. The longer I live, the more I'm enabled to realize that I have but one life to live on earth. And that is one life, and this one life is but a brief life for sowing in comparison with eternity for reaping. Do we get that? Here in life is about sowing for the glory of God. We reap our rewards in heaven. And I struggle with the people that boast about the rewards they're going to get in heaven, you know, because it isn't about us. I want rewards because they bring glory to God. Look what God did. If I live my life well, I want to say it wasn't because of me. It was because of the grace of God and God's faithfulness. And when we live for God, we want him to be glorified. And those rewards glorify God. I pray that we would sow wisely each day, how we use our day, our time, our thoughts, how often my thoughts get off. Often my thoughts are about me. And catching them and going, bringing them back to God. Bring them to God, help me love my neighbor. Help me to love. Help me for people to see you in me. So what happens if we don't? I don't know about for you, but in Matthew 25:31-46, Jesus talks about this in the parable of the sheep and the goats. I want to read it to you. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all his angels, he will sit on his royal throne. The people of all nations will be brought before him, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates his sheep from his goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. When the king, then the king will say to those on his right, my father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in jail, you visited me. Then the ones who please the Lord will ask, when did we give you something to eat and drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger, or give you clothes to wear, or visit you while you were sick or in jail? And the king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. Then the king will say to those on the left, get away from me. You are under God's curse. Go into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you did not give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, but you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, but you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not give me any clothes to wear. I was sick and in jail, but you did not care for me. Then the people will ask, Lord, I want to stop right there. Lord. They knew him. Why would you call anyone Lord if you didn't know who he was? When did we fail to help you when you were hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in jail? The king will say to them, whenever you fail to help any of my people, no matter how important they seem, you fail to do it to me. Then Jesus said, those people will be punished forever, but those who please God will have eternal life. There were only two options. Punished forever, hell, or eternal life in heaven. It's a one-time deal. It's a one-time deal for us. Okay. Praise God. You know Jesus. We're saved. But it's a one-time deal for your neighbor who does not know you. Are we on our knees praying? Understanding, it's a one-time deal for them too. And they need to know Jesus so they don't end up in hell. Like I've said before, when we turn on the computer and we're watching the news, however we do it. Are we on our knees praying, broken for the lost, broken for the evil, or are we just self-righteous? Because this is about eternity. And we need to remember, we will also be judged for our lives and how we live it. Adoniram Judson, one of my favorite missionaries. If you read his life, when I've read his life and his story, I gotta admit, my mouth hangs open much of the time in how this man suffered, yet clung to his faith. He said, a life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. If it be marked with sins, the marks will be indelible. If it has been a useless life, it can be never improved. Such will stand forever and ever, the same way said of each day. Our lives have such brevity compared to eternity. Each day matters. And I want to say, how can we pair the troubles we face right now compared to eternal happiness and joy with God? But I can tell you, if you start focusing on self, well, I can't wait that long. God, are you really faithful? Why are you allowing me to go through this? And something knowing this will end. Heaven is my hope. Not here on earth. And how often we want it on earth. No, what matters is how we live our life on earth for the glory of God. Jeremy Taylor wrote, God has given a man a short time here upon earth, and yet upon this short time, eternity depends. Please let us not forget that. There are several scriptures that remind us that we need to put our faith in Jesus. Because it's in Jesus we inherit eternal life. If we really understand it, again, are we not going to want to share it with others? I'm going to just read some scriptures about this promise of eternal life. This is where we have our hope. John 5:24. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they've already passed from death into life. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. Romans 6:22-23. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. But now you do the things that lead to holiness and resulting in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, Jesus is our hope. He's the only way to heaven. Not our good works. You can live the Christian life perfectly. But if you don't believe and put your faith in Jesus, it's fruitless. We're not saved by religious works. We're not saved. Let's say you go visit the orphans somewhere, because I don't know where there's an orphanage around here. Better yet, you visit the elderly at Birchview. Or go up to Walker to the memory care where half of them, there's a woman named Barb who walks the hall, who is clueless who she is. She's like, you seen my mom? And she's like 77. And there's a point. You can either go, or you can take the time to love her. Pray we would make a choice. Get out of our comfort zone, out of our self-pleasure, and start doing that more and more. And with that, we inherit eternal life. We inherit heaven. Do we understand that heaven and hell are the exact opposite? Why in the world would we want anyone to go to hell? 2 Timothy 1:7-9 gives us a little glimpse of this, about what hell is. When the Lord Jesus appears from heaven, he will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God, and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with eternal destruction, separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. Okay, when we walk outside, we see God's glory in his creation. Okay, imagine what hell's going to be like. The exact opposite. That's why it talks about darkness and fire. Is that not the opposite of who God is? But think about being separated from his presence. All you're going to feel is hatred and evil. Why in the world would we want anyone to go there? Why would we want anyone to be tormented for eternity? I really wish there are some people believe that eventually life ends, their soul is burned up in hell. I cannot find that in the scripture. It says forever. I wish they were right. I hope they're right. But I don't think they're right because I can't justify it scripturally. This never ends. Like eternity never ends. And when hell, there is no repentance. It's too late. Judgment has occurred. God's perfect judgment. Do I understand it? Nope, I do not. But his judgment is perfect. And I have to rest there. And finally, with eternity, again, we have to put our hope in heaven. We need to understand what hell is, but we also need to understand what heaven is. And we get a glimpse of this in Revelation 21:1-8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I'm making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will freely give them the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate will be in a fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Okay, heaven is our hope. And this is what Jesus promised us in John 14:1-3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this is not true, I would not tell you that I go before you to prepare a place. And when everything is ready, I'll come and get you, so that you will always be with me wherever I am," where I am. When I read this, I think of the other scriptures that Jesus said, "You will have trouble here on earth." Do we not? Look at our government. Look at everything around us. It is fallen. It is broken. He says we're going to have trouble. We're going to experience death of loved ones. We're going to experience sickness. But where is your hope? Is your hope trying to live forever? We have that in our culture, that fear of death. Good luck trying to avoid it. But I pray that you know where you're going. And I pray It is that firm assurance of heaven. And I pray that we live our lives in the light of eternity. I want to close with one last quote by the famous and former Minnesota Viking Kirk Cousins. What impact are you making, not only today, but for eternity? What impact are you making to leave a legacy? Are you living a life just to get by? Or are you living a life to glorify God? I, as you know, my mom's passed, so I'm thinking a lot about death, and me and Angie are learning things. I like, okay, we need to do these things. But what really has impacted me, am I leaving a legacy where my life impacts people? Because she did. I mean, even the people that were around her for about a month in the memory care unit were impacted. The head nurse on Friday and went there. I couldn't get my mom to respond. And I was talking with her, and she said, you know, she was the first person I went and saw. She is so sweet. And we were able to talk about heaven. I found out she was a Christian. There were other hospice workers that were crying already before she died because they saw Jesus. There was something different. And I love the last words that I think my mom ever said was, they finally aroused her on Friday afternoon at some point. And she looked at the nurse, and she smiled with her smile. Her face would light up. And she said, thank you, and went back to sleep. I pray that we live our lives, that when we die, people say, I saw Jesus, there was something different. Versus, I've been to funerals where, honestly, my first funeral, everyone didn't want to be there. I didn't see any joy. It was their duty. And it was like, good riddance, he's gone. What a legacy. What a legacy. Life didn't matter. Life is a gift. So let us live our life as a gift for the glory of God. Amen.